Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We're back in our Father's Word, the book of Joshua. Joshua in the Hebrew tongue being transliterated is Yeshua. And meaning, of course, being fully translated, Yahweh's Savior. Or in Greek, Jesus. Same name. He was the Savior that after Moses died, delivered and took Israel into the Promised Land, which is a type of how it would be as we enter the Promised Land in these end times. So it becomes very prominent and very important that you listen. Joshua is old and stricken. He's about to pass on, but he's giving final instructions. And in the closing verse of the last lecture, he said, hey, you want to pick who you're going to serve and who you're going to worship. And that's your choice. You got free will to either worship God or some other God. Okay, but you want to be careful what you pick, because we've gone through 15 verses of how God always delivered his people. He provided the way. He gave the enemy into the hand of his children, always guiding, directing, and caring for, such as Pharaoh's army. He parted the Red Sea for Israel and then drowned the rest, that is to say Pharaoh's army. So God always takes care of his own. It wouldn't be very difficult if one stopped and thought a moment who you want to serve. So having said that, let's complete the book of Joshua as we pick it up in chapter 24, verse 16, a word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads in verse 16. And the people answered and said, this is who are you going to serve? God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's it. You can't serve other gods and God also. You either have to be aimed into the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, God's instructions, or traditions of men, or false religion. It's your choice. Real easy. Verse 17. And the people continue answering, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight. We observed it and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And so it is that our Father, that they recognized this. It was obvious. They had lived it. This is one of the things that amazed me, how quickly that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, that how quickly that the other children, after 40 days, they've already turned and reverted back, wanting to go back into Egypt, into captivity. When they had seen the Red Sea parted, and when they had seen the marvelous works of God, and even at that time, as they looked up at that mountain, they were frightened to death because they could hear the voice of God for a while there. And yet they went bad. So, and you can rest assured, that's why you can set the date, 1434, that's when they're going to go bad again, because that'll be the next year after Joshua dies. Verse 18. And I would hasten to remind you that in chapter 23, God swore in verse 13, this is the last time I'm cleaning the sanctuary for you. You can follow me, you can do whatever you want to, but from now on, you clean it yourself. If you can't keep your sanctuary, your church clean, then live in it. God's not going to do it until the second advent when Christ returns. Then will the sanctuary even in Jerusalem be cleansed. Verse 18. And the Lord, the people continue answering, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. I mean, they're swearing to it. Yet, hey, in hardly a year's time, they go bad. Many of them do, not all. Verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And I want you to know this is while they are committing them, when they turn away from Him. Why? He's jealous. When you take on an idol and start worshiping it instead of Him, He created your soul, your very being. You belong to Him. And He is jealous. And He has every right to be. So now let's get to condition. Why? Here's that word, if. Always you want to watch out for that little word. This explains that verse. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. In other words, with all that good He has done, He will allow you to sink totally out of sight if that's the way you want to go. In other words, all it would take, how much would it take, what would God have to do you harm? Just leave you alone. If you're worshiping other gods, you're the one doing the harm, not our Father. So that can be misinterpreted and misunderstood to a point. God will never tempt you above what you're able to bear. And God doesn't put burdens on people. They put burdens on themselves. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah chapter 23, God said, don't you ever dare say what burden is God going to send us today. Okay? Or he'll allow you to have a bunch of them. So you don't want to do that. It means any time that God withdraws His help from you, and the very moment you start worshiping something other than Him or messing around with the things of the world, God will remove His blessings. And I'm going to tell you something. When our Heavenly Father removes His blessings from you, you're in a heap of hurt. You're going to be one unhappy individual. I'll put it a little different way. Boy, what a lost soul you're going to become. And it was for this reason that Almighty God gave us the parable of the prodigal son. Now, God, naturally, the Father, being symbolic or the analogy of Almighty God, our Father, had the boys there at home. They were living real well, had everything going their way. All of a sudden, one says, I want to take my liquidity, not his inheritance, but his liquidity, and I want to bounce out into the world. And oh, he had friends from every quarter as long as his liquidity, that's to say his money, lasted. Boy, when he ran out of money, he was among strangers. He ended up feeding hogs and eating hogs' food, pods, in the hog pen. Finally, he woke up and said, you know, my father at home, his servants eat better than this. My dad feeds them real good. I'm going home. And the prodigal son went home, and you know the rest of the story. But that's how it is when God removes His blessings from you. You go to pot. The world will not do you right. Oh, as long as you've got a little bit of your liquidity, the world will treat you high on the hog. And when it's gone, then it's all downhill. And many a person has trod that path to destruction if you don't turn around and get back into your Father's blessings. So it's real easy. Why would someone, when God led our people, God fed our people, God looked out for our people, God gives us His blessings, especially in this great nation of freedoms that we have, freedom to worship and freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, freedom to protect our family. You know, what blessings we have here from our Heavenly Father because we live by common law, which is the law of this Bible. Let's go with the next verse, verse 21, and it reads, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, no way, okay, but we will serve the Lord. Well, words come easy sometimes for some people, but the ways of the world have a deep calling that can sure lead a many a one down Primrose Lane in that path to destruction. Verse 22, And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. In other words, they witnessed to themselves. And hey, within a year, you can mark it down. That's the way you figure the 2300 days of Daniel is 1434. I speak of chapter 8, Daniel. What is it along about verse 13? With one of Daniel's days, the common denominator being 1.484. Okay, when you figure, and it brings you to this generation, the generation of the fig tree. He said, "You, when you witness to yourself, you're acknowledging that you have knowledge to know that is truth, that you understand it, and you have declared that's your course." Verse 23, and therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Some of them had them out there right then. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. There, even when God had given a direct order early in the book of Joshua, Achan partook of the cursed thing. And God knew it. God knew these that were not with him, even in this group here, when Joshua would say, put them away, get rid of it. I'm going to tell you something. False religion can work into churches so very easy. I mean, people, you have these people that look for what they call new ways of religion, new religion. Okay. And it's obvious they've never studied the Word of God, because if you had read the great book that tells us how to find contentment and happiness and health in these flesh bodies, you would find it from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. And when they look for something new, you know they're not studied, because it declares very clearly in chapter 1 of that great book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. God is the same yesterday, he is today, he will be forever. He was the same in the first earth age, he is in this earth age, and he will be in the age to come. God doesn't change. That's why you can count on his word. It never changes. And there's nothing new about it. And thank God for that, because that should give you stability. That does give a wise person's stability, because the word doesn't change. If you ever think that God's word contradicts, you're not reading properly, you're not rightly dividing the word of God, and you need to get cracking. You need to get it right, because God is right, always. And that's why he is a righteous judge, because he knows your very heart, your mind, and your soul. He knows who you're serving. So don't ever try to con him. Next verse, 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Words come easy to some people. Actions a little more difficult, it would seem. Verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. So now here we have this place, Shechem, north of Jericho, and just short of the Sea of Gennesaret, above the Dead Sea, west side of Jordan, where Abraham, first time God spoke to him after they came from Ur, he made an altar here. And Abraham making that altar to Almighty God. And so would Jacob later in life, here at this same place, Shechem. He would make an altar, and Jacob would, the father basically of the 12 tribes, would call his altar El Elohi Israel, which is to say the altar title, God is the God of Israel. There's no other. No other choice. And here now Joshua sets this statute and this ordinance and binds it right here at Shechem. And what a blessed place this place turned out to be. Well, what does Shechem mean? And what, when you say that, what are you saying? The back or the shoulder. Get your back into it or get your shoulder into it. It's the word of God. It's God's will. And it's a real special, special place that Joshua has brought them to and this statute and this ordinance set forth. Let's cover just a little of it. 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. It's about 9 miles south of Shiloh. And so it is. An oak is hard wood, and it's always, that means rigidity, that means solidness, that means you can depend on it, okay? And this word of God, the very words of Joshua, and why are they important to you? Because he was a type of Savior, of taking them into the promised land, which we're going to go. We're going to go into the millennium age. And when we go into that millennium age, it's our promised land. So this gives you a type, again, of that event and Joshua being the leader thereof. Let's go with next verse, verse 27. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Some people, some scholars believe this is the stone of Scone. That it heard the word, it heard the witness, and it is why that those that sit on that throne, whose first number one duty as king or queen is protector of the faith, their coronation takes place over that stone whereby the very word of God was heard. And was it? Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? But our Father works in miraculous ways. And the simplicity that is in his word is fantastic. Our Father keeps things in that simple mode, which means sincerely explainable to the point that a child can understand. And in the simple way of life that everyone lives, and all things in common, what happens to one happens to another, but he shows us the way. And here, that stone. And of course, the emphasis is on how important that word is, that word of God, and how that people should honor it and hang on to it, treasure it, and hold it to them. Verse 28. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And naturally, this would mean that here they sit at Shechem, that all the various tribes, Judah to the south, Benjamin to the south, Simeon to the south of Shechem here, and Asher, Naphtali, Asher to the north, Dan to the north, and then back across Jericho would go to their place, the shock troops. That would be Reuben, the elder son, Gad, in line, along with half of the tribe of Manasseh, to their homes to live in peace. Hey, they didn't build these homes. they were already built for them by the people they drove out, that God drove out, to put it more specifically. And here, after all this time, they have rest. But you want to be real careful, beloved. When Israel goes at rest, they always get to be good time Charlies, okay? They forget. Let the good times roll. And they forget how we got there. Most of all, they forget who got us there. That's to say, our Father. So don't ever do that. Don't ever be guilty of that in your life today, okay? Verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. He didn't make the 120. He died at 110. And what a leader he had been in that type of Savior. In sticking with Moses through thick and thin, earning the credentials to be the one who would lead into the promised land. And is it any wonder that he was given that wonderful name, Yeshua, the Savior of Israel, he that would take them in. Verse 30, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash, there by Ebal. And the Septuagint goes a little further, and I think I'll pull part of that in so that you know and understand that as they buried him, and I think this is important. The Septuagint, of course, is the Greek Old Testament. And quite frankly, the reason I bring it in and the reason you want to use the Septuagint as a backup or a witness, if you're a scholar that goes to those depths, because it comes from an older set of manuscripts than your King James does, even. Okay. A lot of times if you have trouble with the Scripture, you can go to the Septuagint and translate the Greek back into the Hebrew, and it will help you to better understand if you think there might have been a mistranslation. But what the Septuagint says here is when they buried him, they took also the stone knives, which when God released them from the wilderness and there was a generation that was not circumcised, that Joshua circumcised Israel, that those stone knives that brought to pass the circumcision were buried with him. Why do I think that's important? Well, I think it's important because his name being Yeshua, Yahweh the Savior, and the fact that when Yeshua himself would pay that price on the cross, that bloodletting, even circumcision, as far as being a spiritual rite or ordinance, was done away with. There's nothing spiritual about circumcision anymore. However, the symbolism is that the circumcision now is of the heart. So they belonged with him, that type. The circumcision now is with the heart, and it applies to both men and women. That you circumcise yourself into the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the only begotten Son of Almighty God himself, showing us the way, showing us the path. That's why I feel that the Septuagint is important, that we bring that fact in, that a little more is written in that 30th verse. Verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. As long as he was alive, he saw to it. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. But at the same time, I want you to remember, even at this time, things are beginning to go wrong. You know, naturally, when you have that many people, then certain people go astray. So that's why, again, you can mark down 1434. Your companion Bibles will make that clear for you in the 50th appendix. Verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, Beeri Day in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. The manuscripts say lambs, okay, 100 lambs. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So here we see, again, the importance of this place, Shechem, this backbone. We have the bones of Joseph. We have the burial there of Joshua. And all the ordinances and the altars that went down, that God pinpointed this place. A place of bringing us from Babylon into the promised land. Babylon, of course, being Iraq of today, Ur, where Abraham was born, and where Haran, his father, and the others came from. There in what today is Iraq, where much confusion goes on even at this time. But this was after they crossed the Euphrates into the promised land, and which is called the flood in more places than one here. But it is the river Euphrates. It has always been the border between Babylon and our people. And in the end times, it will spiritually be dried up, where there is no division between Babylon and God's people, because Babylon will be done away with. It will fall. That confusion will fall, and real truth will come forth from our Heavenly Father. How precious it is, the Word of God, whereby we have the history of the events that transpired. And the memorials that we have, the burial places, what was buried with them, the events that transpired there, it's like even today, our freedoms cost some heavily. Do you want to always remember that? That this all didn't happen by accident. We're not a free people just because we wanted to be. We had to pay an awesome price for it. It started a long time ago. And even today, we have certain peoples that would like to rob us of that, that would like to take that away from us, because they have other thoughts and other teachings. This is not going to happen. Our Father is still on the throne. Our Father is still in control. And the reason we have this history, which is called His word, His story. That's God's story. His story about His children, His people, and our Father Himself, and what He does for us. It's precious, and you want to always remember it. Let's go to the next verse, 33, to complete the book. And Eleazar, this was the oldest son of Aaron, when it's not the oldest son, but the oldest son living. The other two were killed by God because they took strange fire and tried to fire the altar with it, and God struck them both dead in a hammer. Eleazar then took his place. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, that's old Brass Jaw, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. There in that same general area we have this, and that completes the book of Joshua. The entering into the promised land, and Joshua fulfilling his obligation that he would bring them in and find them rest, which is to say peace. And then on his death, Father taking him home, I'm sure he said, "My good and faithful servant, well done." And Joshua did a fantastic job. There was one or two times that Joshua left God out of the equation. That's when the so-called strangers made the long trip in chapter 9 of this great book, only they were from next door. They tricked Joshua. Joshua didn't consult with God. One of the main lessons I want you to learn from the book of Joshua, you always talk to your father. Bring him into the equation of your life. Let him intercede when he sees danger for you. Ask him to, you know. The promises were made by Almighty God to the children. You have to claim them. You have to know they're yours, but you have to claim them. You have to step up to the batter's place. And you have to declare it. You have to claim it. Pinhas, this so-called high preacher, he sure went bad at one time in this book. He went over to half of the tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, the whole tribes, and was gossiping about them and accusing them of building altars to strange gods when they were very loyal to our father. Why? He didn't consult with God before he went over. They were about to attack Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Their own brothers. Families that separate and don't communicate always end up in trouble. That's in your families today. You don't communicate, sometimes you can end up in trouble. Misunderstandings that don't amount to a hill of beans can blossom into a mountain because you don't talk, you don't communicate. But most of all, you don't consult the Father. So that's what's important. Don't let these events, these shortcomings... Why I'm saying this as we conclude the book, the lessons learned are powerful. They apply to you today. They apply to your family. It's how you bring happiness to your family. It's to follow the Word of God. Do you know something? I hope you got the message today. If you serve Him, He'll do good for you. I'll say it again. If you serve Him, He'll do good for you. You serve something else, and He will allow you to go bad. So, to me, that choice is not that difficult. Book of Joshua, Yeshua, or Jesus, in the Greek name, our deliverer, He was the type that delivered Israel from the bondage. 400 years. In bondage, that Moses would bring them out as a type and then he would take over from the wilderness and lead them into the promised land. What a book. A prelude to what's about to happen in these end times. I don't know. You ready for it? You geared for it? Serve God. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment. Won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast.